Dearly beloved, we have gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Life, L-Y-F, love yourself first. And I'm here with Letitia Hunt. How are you doing today, Miss Letitia?
Hi, I'm doing well. How are you?
Outstanding. Thank you for asking. Letitia has vast experience, 12 years experience, I believe, in social work, correct? Working with the elderly. So we're going to get some insight as to, I guess, like the do's and the don'ts and, you know, things to food for thought, things to look out for when it's time to either put your loved one into a retirement community or you yourself preparing to go yourself.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. So who are the prime candidates for state assistance?
So it really depends, I guess, on what you're looking for. So when we're talking about having someone go into long-term care, like into a nursing home, state assistance will cover the cost of long-term care. With that, they look at your financial, you know, what your assets are, how much money you are. So it's mainly for individuals with low income. They also look at how much physical assistance someone needs. So prime candidates, again, could be anyone that requires that level, high level of care, that physical assistance, as well as have lower income.
Now, I read an article that says that, you know, state assistance sometimes takes a while to get. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people, I guess, register a little too late. Mm-hmm. In the game or whatever, like what is the prime, like when is that sweet spot where it's like, okay, maybe we need to start looking into this and start in a process?
Yeah, I would say if you're looking for, let's say your loved one and you're starting to notice that, you know, they're aging, they're starting to have some medical conditions, maybe in the hospital often, and they're just needing help with daily activities. Just getting weaker, I would say, as they're getting older, that would be a time to really start having those conversations to look at what are their finances like as we're planning for the future. So you can, you know, contact your local Department of Social Services. You can reach out to an elder law attorney. At that point is when you really want to just see what they have, what can they afford, what do they need now versus what they may need in the future.
Elder law attorney. I never heard of that. So
yeah,
exactly. How do you get it? Well, how do you know you need an elder law attorney? Like it's to that point.
Yeah, it's elder law attorneys, I would say, are very helpful when it comes to estate planning, advanced directives, and just financial, like seeing what someone can afford when it comes to that care. So you know that you need to see an elder law attorney. Let's say you're noticing that mom or grandma or aunt, you know, they're just needing more help. Maybe they've always been independent. They, you don't really know what their finances are like, what they can afford, what makes the most sense for them. At that point, you may want to reach out to an elder law attorney. Let's say you're looking at them going into a nursing home, into long-term care, and you're told that they make too much money, or maybe there's a spouse, you know, there's the husband and wife. And again, you're being told like, well, they make too much money and they can't afford to live in qualify for state assistance, but they also can't afford to pay for the nursing home. Then call an elder law attorney at that point, I would say.
And, you know, the too much money thing is kind of funny to me. So my great aunt, she's 97 and she was trying to get state assistance and she kept getting denied. And my mom was trying to figure out, like, why does she keep getting denied? She's not making any money. Mm-hmm. You know, she's retired. She's like basically in the house all day. Like how is she making too much? Mm-hmm. But it turned out because she had $3,000 in the bank, which I feel is nothing.
Right.
You know? Yeah. Nothing at all, you know, mm-hmm. especially if it's not something that she's continuously getting, you know, mm-hmm. But because she had that saved, they count that as an asset or like her income. Mm-hmm. And then she's denied, you know, so how do you get around that? Can you get around that?
Yes, there are ways to get around that. So each state has different laws. I know I live in Maryland, and here $2,500 and less, like that's the number that they're looking at. So if you have more than $2,500 in assets, so that's money in your bank account, your property, anything that you own, if it's greater than $2,500, then you don't qualify for long-term care medical assistance, for that state assistance. Mm-hmm. So usually what we advise people at that point is to spend down. So the state, they're looking at 5 years worth of information. Spend down means buying stuff that you need, you know, that your loved one needs. Whether it's a wheelchair, a rolling walker, anything that's going towards their care, get under that $2,500 and then they'll be able to qualify.
Oh, wow. That is amazing to me. Because I mean, you just really don't think like, okay, I have like this little bit of savings just in case I can't make rent this one time. Because mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. Let's be real. We all kind of live paycheck to paycheck for the most part, you know? So,
oh, yeah.
That sweet spot kind of like helps out whenever you can get it, you know?
Yeah. But. And as long as the money is being used to take care of you. So mm-hmm. Long-term care, nursing home, that's just one option. I mean, there are caregivers, people are able, you can hire someone to come to the home and maybe that works out for a year or two or longer. Mm-hmm. But you can always use your money for that. And then once you get to that point where you no longer have the funds, then that's where you can look at the state assistance and long-term care.
Now, I heard that there are programs where, you know, if you're taking care of a loved one in your home, then they will pay you to, mm-hmm. you know, facilitate that care. Do you know anything about those programs?
I know a little bit about that. So there are programs. So here in Maryland, it's called Community Options Waiver Program. And what that is essentially it's cheaper for the state to pay for someone to stay home than it is for them to pay for a nursing home. And so the state will pay caregivers in the home environment, and that can be you, it can be the family member, it could be someone, you know, through an agency. A lot of times with that, if you're a family member wanting to provide that care, you do have to apply through an agency. And then you would get paid to take care of your loved one.
Mm. All right. That's excellent. I mean, I guess that's one of the better ways to go. Like if you have to do it, because I mean, going to a retirement home, like they cost a lot.
They do.
Oh my gosh. Like I saw like the minimum, and this is with you having like two or three or four roommates, is like $4,000 a month or something ridiculous, or $3,000 a month. I'm like, that is crazy.
And as crazy as that sounds, that's actually on the lower end. So yeah, so there are different levels of care. So the lowest level of care I would say is somebody being at home and having a caregiver come to their home. And with that, you're looking at about $20 an hour to pay someone to come to the home and care for you. And then you have assisted living, which is where you can still get around a bit, like your loved one can, you know, maybe they can't cook for themselves anymore and they can't remember to take their medications, but they can still walk around. They're still able to take themselves to the bathroom. They're able to still do some things. They don't need as much hands-on care. That's assisted living. And that runs you, I've seen as low as $1,500 a month, as much as $7,000 a month. At that level. And then once you get to the nursing home level, I have seen as much as $12,000 a month. So it's a lot.
Who can afford that?
There are some people that can, but
Oh my gosh. I need one of those people in my life. You know, like I'm not even asking for much. Like just put me in a corner somewhere and give me a couple thousand and call it a day.
Yeah.
So what do you wish people knew more of, like once they start the process, like what key points do you want them to know?
So I guess if they're looking into long-term care nursing home placement, first of all, it's a very difficult decision. I know people have their reservations. We all want to be able to take care of our loved ones at home. We want to be able to stay home. That's the ideal place. But there are times where, because of the level of care that someone needs, That's not always possible, and that's okay. So I want, the first thing I want people to know is if you have to make that decision to have your loved one go into care, then that's okay. It doesn't mean, you know, anything less. You can still get the best for them. I want people to also know that they have options. So there is the state assistance. There's actually long-term care insurance as well. So throwing that out there. Okay. So there are some options with that. I also want people to know that if you're looking at nursing home placement in particularly, your loved one does need to require quite a bit of physical care. So I know sometimes there's confusion with that when people say, well, my loved one needs to go into a nursing home because maybe they're getting more forgetful. That doesn't qualify for someone to go in. They need to require physical care.
Mm. Oh, see, and I would think like if they were having, I guess what you call it, cognitive issues, then, you know, that'd be an ideal place for them, but just physical care.
Yeah, it's a physical. So usually with the cognition, depending on what their diagnosis, what's going on with them, if it's dementia, for example, it's a progressive disease. Eventually they will need the physical help, but in the early stages, physical help isn't needed, and that wouldn't qualify someone to go into nursing home care.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I was completely unaware about that.
Yeah.
Are there support groups for people who are dealing with, you know, this type of situation where, you know, there, as you said, you know, there are people who have apprehension on putting their loved one into a home, people who've already put their loved ones into homes, like the things that they're dealing with, are there support groups for that?
There are, yeah, absolutely. So there are support groups for caregivers, depending on maybe like the medical conditions, like what's as leading your loved one into needing to go into a home or require the higher level of care. There are support groups through like local hospitals, nonprofit organizations. It helps to know that you're not alone. You know, at some point, you know, if we're all lucky enough, we're all going to age, we're all going to get older and need care and rely on someone else to care for us. So as caregivers, we're not alone. As people aging, we're not alone. So there's definitely that support out there.
Exactly. That's good. What do you think the hardest part of the process is?
I really think the hardest part is making the decisions about what to do and probably even knowing where to begin. Finances, I hate talking about money, but I know that it's a reality for many people. And so just figuring out where money is coming from, how will you pay for things? That's definitely a challenge. If you're relying on state assistance, waiting for that to be processed, I know is also a challenge.
What are social workers good for? Like what do they provide?
Sure. So social workers, you have social workers everywhere. And so speaking of like aging parents or grandparents, the first time that you may come across a social worker would be in a hospital. So that's usually when we start to realize that something isn't quite right, that, you know, it opens up our eyes that our loved one is needing more care. It's because they had a fall or they had a medical procedure or they had some major diagnosis. And there will be a social worker in the hospital to begin to talk to you about what your resources are and what's available, and to connect you with that community support. So whether it's getting a caregiver to come into the home or deciding, do I need to, you know, do hire someone to be in the home 2 hours a day? Am I able to provide that care? Or are we at a point where we need assisted living or we need nursing home? So that's where social workers will come in and really help you to know what your options are and to connect you with those resources. Once you've made that decision, if you make that decision for your loved one to go into a nursing home, the social worker is there to make sure that your questions are being answered, that your loved one is adjusting, that they're getting the support that they need while there, to address everything from their mental health needs to activities, to visits, to meetings. Like the social worker is there to help facilitate those. If you have concerns, you know, the social worker is usually a nice, you know, starting point to say, hey, I'm concerned that my loved one may not be getting, you know, the care that they need and deserve. And who do I need to go to make sure this is addressed? So the social worker can come in for that. Social workers also help with discharge planning. So let's say your loved one was in the hospital for a period of time, and then they go to a nursing home just as a short period for rehabilitation, because that also happens, and then they have been and they return home. You'll want to talk to your social worker to get you what's needed so that they can be safe at home.
Okay, so have you ever seen that show, I Care a Lot? It was on Netflix. Mm-hmm. You haven't? Okay, mm-hmm. So in I Care a Lot, there was a, I guess this woman, she looks for people who I guess are wealthy. Mm-hmm. And she says, okay, they can't care for themselves, like older people, they can't care for themselves. So I'm mm-hmm. going to take over. And they get like this court appointed thing mm-hmm. to go and take care of that person. And basically she's stealing from that person and saying that, oh they're they're incapable of doing anything for themselves. So mm-hmm. I need to take all her money so I can provide for her care and put her mm-hmm. in this home where she can't get anything or whatever. But I know that's an extreme case.
Yeah.
But do things like that happen where, you know, just out of nowhere, somebody, I guess, says there's a pattern here. The person can't take care of themselves. Mm-hmm. Like I'm going to go to the court and provide for them. Is there like an agency that does that?
Yeah. So that definitely sounds like an extreme case. And did I hear correctly that she's like stealing their money? Like this person is going to court and getting guardianship of them?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
And she takes all their money to say, oh, this is about your care. Like I'm taking care of you. So this is how much everything costs. And
wow. Yeah. You
know, I mean, I know it's an extreme case.
And,
but it just kind of floored me because, you know, I guess like not that situation, but mm-hmm. a situation like that could happen where somebody's mm-hmm. court appointed to be your guardian and they're mm-hmm. not your family member. They're not, you know, like even a friend, just uh-huh. some random person.
Yeah. So I have had experiences working with guardians. So individuals who were in a nursing home that had a court appointed guardian, but that was through a state agency, like a state government agency. I'm not sure if there are situations where a stranger could essentially go to be someone's guardian. A judge has to write that order. So it is something that has to come from a judge. I guess if a person is able to somehow prove that they have been involved in someone's life, even though they're not a family member, and that they're able to act in their best interest, then that might be a possibility. Thinking about that example though, from that movie, financial exploitation is definitely a real risk for elderly, mm-hmm. Especially those that don't have any family or have any support. So it can happen. It happens.
Yeah. I just thought it was like a crazy situation. I'm like, well, first of all, I didn't know somebody could just randomly be your guardian.
No, I mean, they have to go to court. And so, I'm just trying to think of a situation where it could be, but I guess if someone quote unquote has really strong evidence that they are able to act in this person's best interest. But usually when it gets to that point where a court, where the judge, you know, court has to get involved, they're looking to see if there are any other family members. Mm-hmm. It's difficult for someone that's not a relative to be appointed a guardian unless you work for an agency, a state agency.
Exactly. Yeah. And there was something else that you mentioned that, I'm blanking out of this because that the first thing that popped into my head was that movie.
Yeah. It sounds like an interesting movie. I'll have to check it out.
It was I thought it was a pretty good movie up until the end, you know, like she took over the finances or whatever because she thought the woman had no family. But the woman did have family. It just wasn't listed, you know.
Okay.
And it turns into a whole thing between those two. But it was a pretty good movie, I thought, up until the end. I'm like,
Yeah.
Because what she was also doing was these people had family, mm-hmm. you know, some of the people that she took, but she would alienate them from that family member,
mm-hmm.
you know, and take care. Like she couldn't have, they couldn't have visitation from their family mm-hmm. members, like completely wow. isolated them and took the money for their care, supposedly.
Right.
But
they weren't actually, she wasn't providing the care. Yeah.
Yeah. She was providing care. It just wasn't any good care. You know?
Yeah. So. Well, and that, I think that's a fear of people though. When you do decide to put your loved one into a home, I know you question like, are they actually going to get the care that they need?
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's a red flag if you do have your loved one in a home and they're like, no visitors, or we need to control everything. Then that to me, that's a red flag, I would say.
Right.
Yeah.
So in the case that, you know, you do put a loved one into a home or whatever, and they're being neglected in some kind of way, are there like, how do you get around that? How do you advocate for their care?
Yeah, so there are heavy regulations, state and federal regulations for nursing homes and assisted living facilities. So you definitely want to make sure wherever your loved one is, it's licensed, because you know that the state is in there regularly. There are numbers that you can call to file complaints, and they're called state surveyors that will come in. I know for nursing homes specifically, you can even ask before you put your loved one into that home to see the state surveyor book and see if they have any deficiencies. Every year, so without you even complaining, every year the state will go in and they will talk to family members, they'll talk to the residents, they'll talk to staff, they'll observe the practices, and just make sure that the environment is clean, healthy, residents are getting what they need. If anything is wrong, it'll get documented, and the nursing home is held accountable for that. They have to have a plan of correction. They have to do all these things. So you always, I would say, ask to see that, but also know you can complain. Like, you can call the state, file a complaint. There are also what's called an ombudsman, which is a local state agency person, advocate, I guess is a good name for them, mm-hmm. an advocate that you can also contact who would go to the nursing home or the assisted living and also help if you have concerns, you know, and really advocate for your loved one and for you.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's good. I wasn't aware of the whole surveyor book thing. I mean, that's a good thing to have or to know about, so that you're not, you know, at least going in, you're not facing those issues. Cause I mean, I've heard a lot of stories about like family members who have like bed sores and, mm-hmm. you know, things like that. So they're not getting the care that they mm-hmm. need.
Yeah. So definitely there's ways, you know, to check in, to be present, to visit and to file complaints, you know, when you have concerns. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Now, when you're filing for assistance, about how long does the process take?
So if you're applying for long-term care medical assistance to pay for your loved one to be in a nursing home, that usually starts once you're in the home. And it can take up to 3 months to get approved, but usually they will retro back. So let's say your loved one goes in on October 1st, you don't get approved until January 1st, they'll still pay for you to stay there beginning October 1st.
So wait, you have to pay out of pocket up until the thing kicks in, or do they already know like, okay, well, we're going to get the money back, so, you know, you don't have to pay.
So, right. What you just said. So,
okay.
The nursing home will know that they're going to get the money. So there's usually a business office that's there that will help with the process, unless you go the elder law attorney route. An elder law attorney can also help with the process. But usually what the business office will do is ask for everything up front, and they'll take a look at the bank statements. They'll take a look at all of the assets. They'll also talk to the medical team to see the level of care that your loved one need. And based off of that information, they can usually say like, okay, they'll qualify. And so your loved one is able to stay, and knowing that the facility will get paid without you having to pay up front. If it's a situation though where they take a look at everything and they say you won't qualify financially because too many assets, you know, too much money, then at that point there may be some private pay cost, but it could be for a month. Like that's also an option where if someone has, I don't know, $12,000 and that's how much it is, and they would just pay that $12,000 for that month and then qualify for state assistance. I know it's crazy.
My heart just sank when you said that $12,000 a month. Like, don't just pay the $12,000 a month. Like, what? No, not today.
Some people have it. I mean, I guess it depends on savings and again, long-term care insurance, which I honestly don't know a lot about long-term care insurance because I feel like a lot of people don't have it. Mm-hmm. But I know
I never heard of it.
Yeah. And I think that's the majority. Mm-hmm. But it exists. And so that's something that we could probably start paying into at this point. If we see down the line, there may be a need to go into an assisted living or a nursing home. Mm-hmm. Long-term care insurance will typically cover. Sometimes you have to pay up front and then get reimbursed. Mm-hmm. But I do know that that's an option.
Wow. Yeah. I had no idea about that. And I wonder why that's not, I guess, advertised more. Cause I mean, you hear about everything else, but they right. like life insurance and things like that, but you don't hear about that, which I would put into that early. Like I would have done that in my 20s.
Right. Start planning now. Right. Exactly.
Exactly. Cause I mean, you know, there are people like, let's be real. Like not everybody has kids. And mm-hmm. even if you have kids, like they may or may not actually take care of you, you know? So you're going to have to, you know, plan for that.
Right. You know? Exactly. Yeah.
Man, there's insurance for everything.
It really is. Yes, there is. Yeah.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. So about the assets though. So if you own a home, mm-hmm. you know, then that's a part of your asset, which means that's money, I guess, coming in or whatever. Like, would you have to sell that home in order to cheese and rice?
Yeah. So yes, you would have to sell your home and then use that money that you got from selling the home towards your care in the nursing home. And then you would pay for that, you know, until you run out and then apply for state assistance. Yeah. So again, when you are applying for state assistance, they're looking at 5 years, that it's a look back period of 5 years. So I know some people, you know, if you sold your home, let's say 6 years before needing to go into a nursing home, then, or let me rephrase, let's say you put your home in someone else's name, a family member's name, 6 years before needing to go into a nursing home. That's okay. Like that wouldn't be against you. But if you sell the home within the 5 year period, that's also looked at as your total assets. Mm-hmm. And it could affect your eligibility for state assistance.
So, oh, that's great information to know.
Yeah. In mm-hmm. situations like that, that might be another one where I would recommend an elder law attorney, because let's say you sold your home 4 years prior to needing to go into a nursing home. All of the money that you got from selling your home is gone. So you don't have any money to pay for a nursing home, but you don't qualify for state assistance because they're seeing that you within 5 years had all of that money. At that point, it may be worth talking to an elder law attorney just to see what can be done to qualify, you know, to get state assistance.
Mm-hmm. I like this elder law attorney thing.
I don't know what they do, but I know there's been times where people have presented their assets, their information, and a nursing home, you know, the staff is looking, the business office is looking at it, and they're saying, well, based on this, I don't know that you would qualify. They contact an elder law attorney. I don't know what they do, but whatever they do, they then qualify.
It's magic. They work magic. That's beautiful. Yeah. I mean, well, definitely great points to hit. I mean, elder law attorney, what would you say? Elderly insurance? That's not elderly.
No, long-term care
insurance. You know, definitely two points that I never even considered or even heard of. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, having your home, you got to, there's a lot of things to consider mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. I never even thought of before. So yeah, great information. Thank you so much, Letitia.
Okay,
you're like the
you're
best. Letitia Hunt giving us information on taking care of your parents, or even things to consider for yourself if you're, you know, getting into the point where you're going into a retirement community, or, you know, you need aftercare. Definitely great information. I appreciate you coming on Life. Love yourself first, and we'll talk to you later.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Okay, talk to you later.